And all God's people said,
Amen.
How many times have you heard that in worship together within the body of Christ? And we're going to track that word amen today and really kind of explain from the biblical history its implementation and what it really means when we say that word. And I'd have to say that as I've done this study, I've learned some things about the word amen. And it's really kind of cute, you know, when we have a child or a grandchild and we're first beginning to teach them how to pray. And sometimes one of the things that they first do is they fold their hands and they close their eyes, and maybe all they say is amen. And then it begins to go to Dear Jesus, thank you for the food, or tattoo the food, you know, tattoo it, okay? Amen. And then sometimes they've understood that everyone else, they have control when they are praying, you know? And so when they start praying, they have everyone's attention, and they start thanking God for this toy and that toy and this person. And sometimes the parent or grandparent would just remind them, amen, you know, which means the close of the prayer. But, you know, I think most of us have a general understanding of what the word amen means, and we're going to look at that common understanding. But, you know, for some people, they may think it just signals the end of my prayer. It's when you open your eyes and when you go on with the rest of the stuff that you have to do. I think it's, one other thing, we have a couple dogs. One is a golden doodle, and I've taught her to go through the motions of prayer. She doesn't pray, but before her meal, you can hold her paws up, and you say, Lucy, let's pray, and she'll tuck her snout down in there, and you'll say, thank you for the food, and she knows amen means I got to raise my head back up, and we'll do it. I don't have little babies anymore, but I do have the cutest dogs in the world, okay? I just wanted to share that with you. We're going to talk today about amen and never stop praying. The Bible tells us to pray at all times, to pray without ceasing, in every situation to make our requests known unto God. Amen is a word that we've all said, and it's a powerful word, and more than just one that signals the end of our prayer or that we agree with what we are saying. The word amen, actually, this is interesting, is been called the universal word because from very different dialects, they have the same meaning of this word, and it's pronounced very, very much the same. In the Hebrew, it's amen. And they take, instead of translating it into the Greek, it is transliterated, and it goes, it's the same word, amen, into Latin and into English. Now, it may sound differently because we have different accents and things that we put in. But actually, if you say the word amen, if you were listening to someone pray in Chinese or Japanese or Swahili or German or French or Russian or Arabic, you would understand at least one word in the prayer. And it would be amen, amen, or amen. You know, some people say it. It's pronounced differently, but you can understand it. And it is a powerful word. And I want you to know today, we're going to hear a little bit later, it is a word that is actually spoken. In Revelation 5, it tells us it is spoken in heaven. The word amen is found around 30 times in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament only has 39 books, so it is relatively unusual to hear the word amen. I just find some of these facts interesting. 16 times the word amen is said after curses are explained to people, and we're going to be in one of those passages. 10 times, it's an expression of worship or praise. And when it's done in those 10 times, often it is amen and amen. It is doubled up at that time. And then there we're going to see two times where it has more of its literal meaning. Two other times, it was affirming of a prophecy or an announcement. Now, where we're going to be leading up to is the passage of Scripture you have in your sermon notes, 2 Corinthians 1:20, and it says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, notice this, the amen is spoken by us. We say the amen to the glory of God. We who were created for the glory of God and to express his glory, we say amen to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, instruct us in your word today. Remind us of things that we already knew, but sometimes take for granted. And where you show us new truth, help us to see where it needs to be applied in our life. Lord, help us never to take for granted that we have become accustomed to closing our prayers in Jesus' name, by Jesus' authority, in the name that is above all names. With confidence we say, amen to the glory of God. Amen. Well, let's look at where we first see the word amen. It's first found, by the way, in Numbers chapter 5. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And amen is a word of agreement. You are agreeing with what is being said. And in Deuteronomy, you basically have the law of the Lord being recited to the Jews before they enter into the promised land. And so they are standing there on this day, and they're hearing the law that is being read. And you'll find in leading up to Deuteronomy 27, Deuteronomy 26, this is what God says. As you have declared the Lord to be your God, and that you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and listen to his voice, the Lord has today declared to you to be his people, a treasured possession, as he promised you, that you should keep all of his commandments, and that he would set you high above all nations that he made for you for praise, fame, and honor, and that he has spoken and consecrated to the Lord your God as he has spoken. These words were spoken over the people of Israel by the Levites, the spiritual leaders, not unlike the pastors that we have today. And it was spoken by the Levites before they entered into the promised land. And what we're going to see is that they had the Levites divided into two different groups according to the tribes. And on one mountain, they had the people reciting, the Levites reciting the blessings. And on another mountain, they had Levites that were reciting the praises. Now, something kind of interesting happens here. You'll have seen your notes there in Deuteronomy 27. As they talk about the law, and they're going to talk more about some of the blessings coming up in the next chapter and so forth, that Moses and the Levitical priest all spoke to Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." And the people were supposed to be silent during that period of time. And then something surprising happened. On the other mountain, the Levites begin to speak the curses. Now, what a curse is, a consequence of disobedience. God says, my blessing, just like this land that you're getting ready to go into, is going to flow with milk and honey. And my blessing, this land that I'm going to give you, a curse is going to come upon you. If you disobey me, if you don't walk in my way, God did not want to have people live in the curses. He goes, I've set you before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life so that you would live. But if you don't live the way God calls you to, if you don't live in his blessing and the flow of his life, the natural consequence of that is that curses are going to come upon you. And God wanted the people to understand that. So what you find is that God begins to have the Levites recite from verse 11 down to the verse 26. And here are 12 times where the people were called to say amen. It says, if you make a graven idol and you begin to worship another god before me, we see in verse 15, you will be cursed, because this is detestable. And all the people said, amen. And then it went through other things that we're doing. It ended in verse 26. It said, cursed is anyone who does not affirm and obey the terms of these instructions. And all the people said, amen. This is basically what you get. If you're going to go sign a loan, for example, and you're going to purchase a house or a car. It said, here are the terms of our agreement, and here's what you agree to do. We're going to set up the payments on this particular day of the month. But if you do not hold up to here, here's what's going to happen. And you sign your name there to say, I take responsibility. Or you're going to go into surgery. And it says, this is what we're going to do, and this is the area of your body we're going to work on. Now, I want you to also realize that there's some side effects and potential consequences if things don't go as we plan. And you kind of sign that paper that says, this has been given. God is saying, I want you to realize my plan for you is blessing. I want to flow into your life blessing. But if you do not live in that blessing, you're inviting a curse upon you. It's a natural consequence. In fact, the word curse here in Deuteronomy literally means to dam up, to trickle, or to stop the flow of. And God says, I am a life-giving God, but if you refuse to walk in my way, you're going to dam up my blessing in your life, and it will be a curse unto you. And so the people said amen as a term of agreement. And this is probably the most common understanding of what this word is. It means, so be it. We agree with you, God. Be it upon us and be it upon our children if we do not obey the law of the Lord. So when you say amen, you are agreeing to what God has said. On some occasions, people would say amen in agreement with another individual, but typically in the Bible, it is used amen to agree with what God has said. Since we started this series on talking about the Lord's Prayer, I just want to take a little liberty to hear. So when you pray the way that Jesus taught, and you said, Our Father who art in heaven, the one who established relationship with us, the one who is over all and in all, the Lord of lords and King of all kings, who is in heaven, I would add my amen to that. I agree. So be it. You are that God. I mentally accept that in my life. But amen is more than just a word of agreement. As you begin to track its usage in the Old Testament, you see that amen was also a word of affirmation. This was typically used in the expression of worship and was frequently doubled up. You see in 1 Chronicles 16:36 that I have in your notes there. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said amen, and they praised the Lord. So now they're not just agreeing, but all of a sudden they're participating in this, and they're affirming it with their life. They said amen, they affirmed it, and they praised the Lord. And it's doubled for increased meaning in their life. In fact, in the rabbi's teaching, they had to say amen forcefully. It wasn't just a under the breath, amen. It was something that they were to be forcefully to shout out. Notice it's in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting their hands, and they bowed low, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Psalm 41:13, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, amen and amen. Psalm 72. In fact, the Psalms are divided into different books. In the first three books of Psalms, they all end with this word, amen and amen. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone has done marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Psalm 72, 18 and 19. So, for our purposes, and I understand how I apply this in my day-to-day life, in the life, I looked at it this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. You're in heaven. I agree with that. Amen. But holy is your name. I affirm that. Holy, may your name be known in this world and in my life. It begins to invite personal participation in what I am amening, if you will. The word here means amen, let it be so. Amen, it be so. Not just so be it, not just that I agree that this is what is a truth to be revealed, but it be so. Let it be so in my life. I receive it into my life. This is true and firm and reliable, and I will begin to turn my life toward it. May it be so. And thirdly, I want us to see that used in Scripture, amen is also a word of alignment. It's a word of alignment. And I mentioned that there were two times where you wouldn't typically recognize the word amen in the Old Testament, because it is translated according to its more literal meaning. It's very close in the Hebrew to the word believe, or that of truth. And what you see here is in Isaiah 65:16, we see the word amen again. Because he who blessed will be blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth. That literally is by the God of amen. This is true, is what it's saying. And he who swears in the earth will swear by the God, here it is again, the God of truth, or the God of amen. In fact, if you have an amplified version of the Bible, you will see the word amen in there along with truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten and they are hidden from my sight. And so amen is a word of alignment, because amen literally means this is true. I not only agree with it, I not only affirm it, but I am going to revolve my life about it. This is going to be the focus of my life. I realize that truth is not the construct of man. We don't live life according to God's plan, that everyone does what's right in their own eyes, and what is true for you, and it may not be true for me, or it may be true. Well, I'll just... there. Truth is an absolute. And that it's really not even... Here's how I will say it. It is not found by us. It is revealed to us. It's not the construct of man, but it's revealed to us from the one who himself is true. You see, I agree. I add my amen. I agree because it's true. I affirm it because it's true. And you align your life to it because it is true. In the Lord's Prayer, the way that Jesus taught us to pray, and we thought one of the most difficult things in our life will be, in our day-to-day basis, to move from my will to thy will, from my kingdom to thy kingdom. So when we pray in the way that Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we can add our amen to that, because we're saying, God, your kingdom is truth. Your will is truth. Give me insight. Give me understanding. Reveal to me that truth, and let me align and turn my life to it. Jesus, although he didn't use the word amen here, explains this out a little bit more for us in John 8:31-32. Jesus was saying to the Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth," and notice this, "the truth will set you free." It's not just knowing the words, but applying that truth to your life is where you find real freedom in your life. Recognizing that God's word are true, and that truth, when it begins to work into your life, begins to set you free. The NIV Encyclopedia Bible Words says, "To say amen is to identify with what is said, to confirm that which has been said, and that it is true and binding." Thus, to say amen to what one hears is to affirm what one hears, to confirm it as true, and to identify it and to make it your own. Now, I took all those words and said, to agree, to affirm, and to align. And when you close your prayer out, in Jesus' name, amen, you're saying, God, I'm agreeing with you, what you have for my life and in this situation. Not only do I agree and I can watch it from a distance, but I affirm it in my life. I want to walk through this, and I will align my life to what your will is in my life, because it is true. Now, let's move to the New Testament. In this passage of Scripture that we read at the very beginning, for no matter how many promises of God has made, they are yes in Christ. This is, we could be here a long time, and we're not going to be, but every promise of God, here's what this is, a profound scripture. Every promise of God in your life is made complete and fulfilled through His Son, Jesus Christ. No matter how many of the promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Therefore, we can say, I have redemption and forgiveness of my sins, according to Colossians 1:14, because of Jesus Christ. If I ever ask myself, am I loved by God? God, do you really love me? The resounding answer from heaven is amen, because the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ. Is this situation that I'm going through, if you were to ask God, as I love God and I'm called according to His purpose, do you really cause all things to work together for good? And God's answer is already yes through Jesus Christ, His Son. He has fulfilled every promise through the word, the word of His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the living Word. And notice what it says here. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. We agree with God's promise through His Son Jesus. We affirm it, and we align ourselves to it. So, when someone says, or when you read the verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, the natural response of the heart that is encountering God would be what? That's kind of weak, folks. What would it be? Amen. Okay. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Amen. Okay. Now let's study this a little bit more, because it gets really exciting here, I think. Oh, those are those scriptures we just went through. Jesus is heaven's amen. And we're going to see in Scripture where Jesus Himself refers to Himself as the Amen. It's there in Revelation 3:14, rather. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, and they are in red in your sermon notes, in red if you have a red letter edition Bible, because Jesus Himself, this is a quote from Jesus, and Jesus says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true. That's the literal meaning of the word amen. Witness, the ruler of God's creation. Here's what I found out about the word amen. Depending on which manuscripts you use, the King James uses not the earliest manuscript. So in the King James Bible, you'll find the word amen around 150 times. In some of the other versions, you'll find it somewhere just under 130 times. Sometimes the word amen was added as benedictions in prayer, not in the earliest manuscripts. And so that's just in disclosure. But 24 out of the 27 New Testament books end with the word amen. Two-thirds of the time it is found in the New Testament, Jesus is speaking the word amen. Now you may be thinking to yourself, I don't remember Jesus saying amen all that much. And that's because Jesus, when He said amen, it's translated closer to its original meaning. And 50 of the times that Jesus says it, He says it in the Gospel of John. And only 25 sentences, because He doubles it up. Jesus did something that was never done before. He takes the word amen and moves it from the end of the sentence to the beginning of the sentence. Now you'll be familiar with these words. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's the word amen. Amen, amen, I say it unto you. This is truth. Agree with it, affirm it, and align your life to it. He's saying what I'm about to tell you is true. Why does he say it twice? I think for emphasis. I think it's also possible that Jesus, who was the Word, became flesh. He was God among us. He is God with us, Emmanuel, could be saying this. My Father willed it, and I'm living it out before you. This is true in heaven, and now because I'm here, it is true on earth. This is something that is going to be lived out in your life because I am the living Word of God. I don't have time to flesh all of this out, but God says if you disobey me, curses will come upon you. You'll stop up. You will dam up the flow of my blessing in your life. Do you know that Jesus became the curse for you and me? Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have violated the law of God and brought curses upon ourselves as a result. God did this from the very beginning. Adam and Eve, he said, I have a blessing. I have a sweet spot for you called the Garden of Eden. And you can eat of any tree in the garden. This is truth. Be fruitful and multiply. Rule over the earth and subdue it. But one thing, don't eat of this one tree. Because in the day that you eat it, you're going to dam up my blessing. And you're going to invite the curse upon your life. Because the day that you eat it, you will surely die. Because your heart will be in rebellion. The issue was not whatever the fruit was. The issue was rebellion in their heart against the truth of God. That's what sin is at its root. It is rebellion against God. And so people invited Adam and Eve invited the curse upon their life. God does the same thing in the law. He says, this is what I have for you, but if you don't follow it, here. And the reality is that we cannot, because of our sin nature, live to the fullness of the law of God. And that's why we needed Jesus. And that's why you'll want to tuck away 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God, as many as they are yes in Jesus. No wonder we sing songs about Jesus. No wonder we talk about keeping near the cross, because Jesus himself became the curse for us so that we could be made right with God. This is how God creates his work in our life. And the creative process throughout, from the Genesis, throughout salvation and restoration is this. The work of God is this. The Father wills it. Jesus Christ, his Son, words it. He gives us the words. He is the living Word in our life. And the Spirit bears witness to it. He confirms it. He testifies and attests to it. Again, you see the agreement. You see the affirmation, and you see the alignment happening here. John 5:24, Jesus said, amen, amen, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears these words of mine and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death unto life. Notice what Revelation 1, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle John is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God himself, he has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds in heaven, and everyone who sees him, even those who pierced him, and all nations will mourn for him. Yes and amen. And then look at the end, the last two verses in your Bible. Excuse me, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let's look in Revelation. It is the last. I just have the wrong reference here, okay? The last chapter in the book of Revelation. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Those are Jesus' words himself. Amen. We say, yes, come, Lord Jesus. Amen, come, Lord Jesus, to the glory of God. We speak the word amen to the glory of God. And then notice how your Bible closes out. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. I agree, I affirm, I align my life to this truth. Which brought me to this phrase. adding amen to my prayer means it is less of a desire of the heart than it is a declaration of faith. When I go and I encounter God, the very fact that I can come and pray to the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, the one who sent his son to die on my cross, is because of what Jesus had made possible for me. It is a declaration of faith. The reason why I can pray about situations and be honest about the emotions of my heart and say, God, I don't like this going on in my life. It's not a declaration of doubt. It's not just saying, God, get me out of this. It's a declaration of my faith that all the promises that he has said in my life are yes in Jesus. And I need his spirit. I need his understanding. I need him to reveal to me and come and speak to my life. You see, prayer is more than a wish. It's more than good vibes. It's more than our hopes, our dreams, or aspirations. It's more than religious ritual or duty. And it's more than an insurance policy. Corrie ten Boom used to say, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? And I think for many people, prayer is kind of that insurance policy. You know, we'll just always have it. We could always use more prayers. And in times of crisis is when we pray. Corrie ten Boom was saying, in my life and in our lives, it needs to be our steering wheel. It needs to be guiding our life. Because I agree with God, what God has declared, I say amen, so be it. And since I affirm its truth in my life, I say amen, it be so. And since I align my life to that truth, I say amen, this is true. That's what I want in my life. I agree, I affirm, and I align. And as you read your Bible, as you take in God's word, as you practice the presence of Christ by taking in his word, when you come across the word amen, begin noticing it with new intensity, with a new understanding to say, God, so be it, it be so, and I align my life because this is true. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. You see, God has already sent his resounding yes into this world in your life, and that was Jesus, his son. And we speak the word amen to the glory of God. Jesus said, amen, amen, truly I say unto you. We are the ones that have to add the amen to the end of his statements. We have to be the ones that say, I agree, I affirm, and I align my life to that. I came across the story of Daniel Webster, a great statesman, used to be our Secretary of State, was an outstanding senator. He was also a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Several weeks earlier, as he had begun to age, he was thrown from his horse and had some horrific injuries in his life, and for several weeks he laid in bed, and his doctor was a good friend by the name of Dr. Jeffries, and they had done as much as they could, and it was very clear that Daniel Webster would be coming to the end of his life, and so the family that was there and Dr. Jeffries gathered around, and they just sang some of the hymns that nourished his spirit throughout his life. And after they got through singing those hymns, it was time and they sat back and things, and as I heard the story, Dr. Jeffries remembered that they had not sung Daniel Webster's favorite hymn. And since he himself wasn't a singer, he got up and just began quoting the words, "To there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." And as he continued going down through the verses, he got to the last verse, and something happened different in Daniel Webster. He began mouthing the words to these words that you know. "When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, Then a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing this power. I'll sing thy power to save. And when the doctor looked down at his friend, we're told, Daniel Webster added three words. He said, Amen, 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 and went to be with Jesus. God wants you to add amen to your life, to your prayer, to that ongoing conversation that you have with God through each and every day. And I hope that although you might have a pastor that sometimes just encourages you just to make sure that you're with him, and God's people say, Amen. But you know in your heart, you're going to say it differently because you have been it's been revealed to you in a new way of what it means. It's a power word. Let's not take the name Amen in vain, but let's take it and apply it into our life. For all the promises of God are yes in Jesus. And so we speak the amen to the glory of God, the very reason you were created. Our prayer is going to be listening to some of those promises. And on the back of your sermon notes, I have an adaptation from Neil Anderson's book. You can see what I have for you. I want you to stand. And when you hear me pause, I want you to say to the glory of God, Amen. Since I am in Christ by the grace of God, I am justified, forgiven, and made righteous. I am free from the power of sin's rule over my life. I am free forever from condemnation. I have been given the mind of Christ. I have been bought with a price. I am not my own. I belong to God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God in Christ. And I have been given the Holy Spirit as a pledge, guaranteeing my inheritance to come. And God's people said, I no longer live for myself, but for Christ. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and am without blame before Him. I am redeemed and forgiven. I am a recipient of His lavish grace, and the debt against me has been canceled. I have been made alive together with Christ. I have direct access to God through the Spirit. I may approach God with boldness and confidence. I have been rescued from the domain of Satan's rule and transferred to the kingdom of Christ. And God's people said, Christ Himself is in me. I am rooted in Christ and am now being built up in Him. I have been made complete in Christ. I have been buried, raised, and made alive with Christ. I have been given a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. I have been saved and set apart according to God's doing. I have the right to come boldly before the throne of God to find mercy and grace in my time of need. I have been given exceedingly great and precious promises by God, by which I am partaker of the divine nature. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Father, You are the one who fulfilled the promise through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And You are the one through the Holy Spirit that encouraged the writing of these words. And now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and to all generations, for now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Father, we give You glory this day. In Christ's name, amen.